Welcome to the Ocean Hills Podcast. Our hope is that today's message would help you connect more deeply with God and with others. If you would like more information on what is happening in the Ocean Hills community, check out our website at oceanhills.org or download the Ocean Hills app. If you are encouraged by our ministry and would like to partner with us financially, you can give through your mobile device by texting Ocean Hills to 77977. We hope you enjoy this message.
Morning. Thanks for coming to church on this summer Sunday. Thank you so much for those of you that led us into the presence of God through singing and prayer. So grateful. And I probably shouldn't follow a prayer with a prayer, but I just, as I walk up here, I feel like every Sunday something's going on in our world, and it feels like we're deaf if we don't pray. And so much is going on in our world today. So maybe just bow your head, close your eyes, and I'll give you a prompt, and maybe just in the quietness of your own heart, with as much faith as you can muster, would you pray for our leaders in our country right now? And as you're praying for our leaders, how about world leaders in Ukraine and Russia and Israel and Iran and Gaza, people that are making decisions, would you pray for peace? And would you take a moment to pray for innocent civilians, children, caught up in the decisions that adult leaders are making, world leaders are making? Would you pray for safety and first responders? Kind Father, we feel helpless sitting here. Here we are in Santa Barbara, and there's so much war, conflict, violence, innocent people, families being impacted, losing lives, losing loved ones. And yet, it's a complicated world that we live in. And so, I love the song we just sang, I trust in God. Who else are we going to trust right now? We trust you. We turn to you. We cry out to you. We're desperate for you to intervene, for you to, in your wisdom, pour it into those that are making decisions. We pray that portion of the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, meaning your rule, your reign, you be in charge, Lord, your kingdom come, and your will, your desires, we pray that they would come and be done on earth in all those places where there's unrest, in all those places where people are walking away from your will, your ways. We pray that your kingdom would come, your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Whew. All right. Today, I want you to think about, if you're a follower of Jesus, and I'm not presuming or assuming that everybody in this room is a follower of Jesus. Some of you, maybe you were dragged here by your spouse, maybe you're, I don't know, this is the way you want to spend your vacation, come to church on Sunday. Some of you are seeking, some of you are following, a lot of you are in between the fully devoted follower and curious spiritually. But there's a quote that has just sat with me literally for years. It's a quote by a pastor that I don't know. I think he's retired now. His name's Larry Osborne. And Larry said this. I was in a seminar he taught many years ago. And he said, I don't want to gouge the quote. He said that discipleship, which is following Jesus wholeheartedly, when we do that, discipleship is pushing you in areas you don't want to go. Discipleship is pushing, nudging, stretching, challenging you in areas that you don't want to go, that you don't want to talk about. And so when you come to church, part of my job is to push you in areas you don't want to go. Now, some of you are going, I hope he's not talking about my sex life right now. That's off the table. Others of you are thinking, that wound, that hurt, that ouch, that bitterness, that resentment I'm carrying, I hope he's not going to tell me I have to forgive. Because I don't want to talk about that. That's off out of bounds. Others of you are thinking, God, is he going to talk about money today? He's not going to tell me I need to give more money, am I? Do I have to? So what am I going to talk about today? I'm going to push you in an area most of you don't want to go. There was a revivalist, evangelist, a passionate preacher. His name was D.L. Moody back in the 1800s. And here's a D.L. Moody quote. He says, what makes the Dead Sea dead? Because it is all the time receiving, never giving out anything. Why is it that many Christians are cold? Because they are all the time receiving and never giving out anything. The sermon title is Becoming. Becoming. And it's this growing from consumer to contributor in life. That you cannot be a follower of Jesus and just be like, I'm just a receiver, man. I'm all about self-care my whole life. I'm just all about me. You're not following Jesus. You're not reading the Bible. You're not following it if that's your mindset. Of course, there are seasons we receive. And there are seasons when we give. But over the trajectory of our life of faith, God doesn't want us to be this. God wants us to live this way, right? So we're going to talk about this idea. In Genesis 12, right, God called Abraham and he said, you know, I'm going to bless you so that your net worth is incredible and you and your family just enjoy that all for yourself. I just want you to be happy, Abraham. Is that what the Bible says? No. I'm going to bless you to be a, say it out loud, blessing. I'm going to bless you. God's going to bless you. If you live in Santa Barbara, you've been blessed. I've been blessed. Why has God blessed us? To be a blessing. I'm going to teach today on a passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 8. I've never taught on this passage before. 40 years of ministry, I've never taught on this passage before, and I just thought, what the heck? Why not? Let's see what happens. Let's roll the dice and just go for it. Here we go. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. After this. Now, when a passage of Scripture, when a chapter of Scripture starts with after this, what's the question? After what? We got to back up. After this, okay, I got to go back to what's right before it. And if you look, if you have a Bible, I invite you to bring your Bibles to church on Sundays. My youth pastors, I said, why do I need to bring my Bible to church? He said, well, when you go play tennis, do you take a tennis racket? I'm like, well, yeah. He goes, well, when you come to church, bring your Bible, dude. Quit being lame. I'm like, all right. So I bring my Bible every week. After this, after what? This passage, Jesus anointed a sinful woman. It was at this Pharisee's house that invited Jesus to have dinner. He goes to the Pharisee's house. He reclines at the table. There's a woman who comes who had lived a sinful life, according to Luke chapter 7, in that town. And she learned that Jesus was at the Pharisee's house having dinner, so she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And most of you know that story, right? She pours that perfume out on him, and she begins to wet his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair and kiss them and pour out this very, very, very extravagant, expensive perfume on Jesus. And the Pharisee who invited Jesus, he saw this and he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. A lot of judgment. And Jesus responded, Simon, I have something to tell you. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other just 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he canceled the debts. He canceled the debts of both of them. Now, Simon, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, well, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. And Jesus said, you have judged correctly. And then he turned toward the woman and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house and you did not give me any water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but the woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put or give me any oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. And then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. But that line, he who has been forgiven little loves little. And I might say, he who has been forgiven little gives little. I'm not a contributor if I feel like I'm not grateful for what I've received, the forgiveness I've received, the blessings I've received. My giving is a reflection of my humility, my devotion, my commitment. I haven't even started the sermon yet, and I'm already in the middle of it. After this, after what? After that story, Jesus traveled from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is language that means that God is in charge. Jesus wants the rule and reign of God, the ways of God, the way we treat each other, our priorities. The kingdom of God is about God having his way in you and through you. So he's preaching, he's teaching the good news of the kingdom. It says the 12 were with him, the 12 disciples, right? Now don't miss this, verse 2. And also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. And it's just interesting to me that Luke mentions three of them. Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. These women were helping to support them out of their own financial resources. These women were helping to support the ministry of Jesus and his disciples so that the good news of God's unfailing love and amazing grace and new morning mercies, the good news of forgiveness and healing and deliverance, the good news could spread, that more and more people could find and follow Jesus. And these women were part of it. Mary Magdalene, she's mentioned 12 times in the Gospels, more than most of the other apostles. And she was a prominent woman. And in fact, every time her name is listed with other women, her name is always mentioned first. Isn't that interesting? In biblical language, that says that she's important. And the passage says here in Luke 8 that she had been delivered from being tormented by seven demons. That evil was prominent, finding a way into her life, demon possession or being tormented by evil. And Jesus delivered her. Jesus healed her brokenness. I wonder if you maybe have been delivered or healed. If you've been on the receiving end of God's healing in your life. It could be physical, but it might also be relational. Have you been healed of hurt, of brokenness, of resentment, of bitterness, of walking around with a chip on your shoulder, of just kind of carrying an Eeyore spirit? And God actually touched your heart, softened it. You're no longer walking around with a hard, mean-spirited, critical, negative Nelly heart, but you're actually now walking in freedom to be a blessing to others. I wonder if maybe you've experienced that. I hope so. I hope that's our journey of becoming. That's the story of Mary. She had experienced healing from Jesus. And it might be that yours, again, maybe you weren't delivered from demon possession, but maybe you were delivered from some other kind of addiction. Maybe you're in the middle of that. And your heart's grateful. You're like, I tried to do it without God. I tried to do it on my own, and I couldn't. And I finally surrendered, and Jesus delivered me. He healed my brokenness. Maybe you had a relational, just maybe your marriage broke, strained. You were like, whoa, we got separated, but God brought you back. I don't know what it is, but I'm guessing that there are many of you. You're here today because Jesus Christ has touched and transformed your life. And that's Mary. That's her story. But then you go to the next one, Joanna. The name Joanna, it means God is, you ready for this? Generous. God is gracious. That's what her name means. And her husband had this position of authority. Talk about unlikely. In Herod, King Herod's household, he was Herod's business manager. This was a wealthy guy. Significant wealth. Apparently, being married to a wealthy businessman does not meet your deepest needs relationally, spiritually, emotionally. Why else is her name mentioned? Something in her story, now she's following Jesus. We don't know the details, but here's a person of wealth that now is following Jesus. Like all of that out there, this culture that we live in, bigger, more, faster, more, quicker, more, it doesn't deliver. And I think she experienced that and now has turned her life over to Christ and is following Christ. And then we have Susanna. She's only mentioned here. That's a little odd. Why would Luke mention her name? Apparently, she was well-known enough and influential enough with her giving and support that she wasn't just lumped into the next phrase, but she was prominent, important enough, significant enough, whatever difference she was making, I think is probably the reason her name is listed. And then you have that next phrase, many others, which is interesting to me too as I studied it. It's expressed that phrase in the feminine gender. Luke's pointing to a bunch of women and saying, they are making a difference. Guys, these women that were like, you're not allowed on the stage in church. These women are making a difference in the life of Jesus, in his financial support, ability to go and spread the good news because there were women on his support team. And they were substantial enough for Luke to mention them. I just find that interesting. I hope you do. Like, get curious when you read the Bible. Like, why is this in the Bible? Why is this story in the Bible? Why does God want us to know this? It's fun for me to, it's like digging for gold, like mining for gold when you study scripture. And so I'm gonna make just a few observations on this passage this morning about this idea of becoming from consumer to contributor. And here's my first reflection. Giving is my godly response to receiving. Giving is my godly response to receiving grace. These women gave because they received something. They gave because they received what? What did they receive? Help, healing, deliverance. We've just been talking about it. Again, might be physical, emotional, spiritual, relational. Here's what I want you to hear. Generosity, becoming a contributor should not come from guilt or pressure. It should come from gratitude of receiving. I have received so much from God. I actually get to. Not I have to, I'm obligated. How many of you have ever given out of pressure or guilt? Raise your hand. And how long did that last? I remember going to a fundraiser banquet and feeling the pressure, and I made a commitment. And I remember getting in my car and being resentful, like, the reason I responded because I felt pressured. That's not God's heart for any of you this morning. I want you to hear that. I'm not taking an offering at the end of this message, so relax. Those of you online, you're loving that, right? We're not taking an offering today. Guilt, pressure, manipulation, it just doesn't last. But I want you to think about, is it possible that giving, that God wants actually more for you than from you? Is that possible? Is it possible that these women, why are they giving? Is it possible that they have received something that so changed their life, a relationship with Christ, a deliverance from evil, that they have been on the receiving end of something so powerful that it changed their whole approach to their resources and saying, I want to give out of my own means. So I have a friend, I did his wedding maybe 7 years ago. He played hockey for the New York Rangers, became famous, made a lot of money, and he comes through, he doesn't live here anymore, he's a coach now. But I got a text from him that on Father's Day, so was that like a week ago, and it was so awesome. He's back in Boston area now, and he sent me a text that said, Happy Father's Day. And he said, I have been exploring faith. I've been exploring faith. And then this is what the text said. He said, I've been reading my Bible every day for 30 days. And here was the line. He says, I've never felt more alive. This guy's played 10 years of hockey. He won a bunch of awards, became famous, rich, the whole thing. Lived the dream. And in the text it says, I've always been longing for more. And now I'm discovering a faith that when I read the Bible, he goes, I never felt more awake. And it's just that phrase. I wonder if some of you maybe spiritually are asleep. And maybe God brought you here today not to hear a message on money and giving, but a message on becoming spiritually awake to the God of unfailing love and amazing grace, the God we can trust that we sang about and we sang to this morning. I just love that story that he's experiencing a new awakening spiritually, discovering forgiveness and purpose with his life. It's like, hey, my hockey career's over. I don't even know what to do with my life anymore. Since I've been 4 years old, my whole life's been hockey. And now discovering there is something more. It's not a bigger house, and it's not a bigger bank account. There's something deeper, more. It's a spiritual awakening of coming alive to God. And that's his story. It's happening in real time right now. We've been on the phone this week. When you receive God's grace in your life, I don't know about you. My hope for you is that you experience gratitude. And in gratitude, you give. You respond. And so I want you to think with me just for a moment. If you're a fully devoted follower of Jesus, what's holding you back? Have you ever thought about, like, what's actually holding me back from living this way? Actually, if this is your church family and you're like, what's holding you back from becoming a recurring giver rather than just tipping God when you feel like it? Like, actually, I'm going to be committed. Like, these women were, they were part of the support team. It wasn't just a one-off. It was like, you can count on us, Jesus. If that's not you, no judgment, but what's holding you back? What's keeping you? Is it fear? Is it you don't trust me or our leadership or what we're doing? Is it, what is it? And maybe just go deeper into that. You got questions for the way the church is run? Feel free to ask us. We got a board here. I'm here. Answer whatever you want. But what's holding you back? Here's another reflection. Giving is a partnership. Giving is a partnership, and it helps me grow. Here's a crazy question. I was thinking about this week. I don't know why I haven't thought about it before, but this is what I wrote in my notes. So Jesus has this team of people, and they're going and they're spreading the good news of the kingdom. I mean, Jesus could do whatever he wanted. He was the miracle waymaker we sing about. He could do anything. Boom, smash burgers and fries today. Pizza for you guys every day. Why didn't he just provide? Why didn't he just do a miracle? He could have every day. We don't need a support team. I don't need you guys to support me. I can just make it happen. Is that the Jesus we know? Yeah, so why didn't he do that? I think it's a fair question. I think it's because he wants to know if he can count on you. He wants to be in it together. Have you ever been in anything together with people? There's a closeness, that relational stuff, the love, friendship, companionship, teammates. That stuff's real. And I believe the God of the Bible wants relationship, wants us to be in it together, changing this world. He wants us to participate with him. And he knows that by participating and being a contributor, not just a consumer, that I actually grow and you grow. And so you're just sabotaging your own spiritual growth if you're not learning to trust God with your finances. Ministry costs money, and it requires partnership. Some of you might remember back in COVID, we did a Zoom call with Kirk Cousins. He was the quarterback for Minnesota. Now he's with Atlanta, maybe retiring, I don't know. But I remember this, something he said, and I met him at a wedding, and I've had many conversations with him. But he said his life changed when he went off to college. And his dad pulled him aside, and he said, Kirk, you have a decision to make as you head off to college. He said, you got to decide, are you going to be a fan of Jesus or are you going to be a follower? Are you going to just be a fan that's kind of more, yeah, I go to church and I receive and I'm a fan. Hey, love that worship song. Hey, all right. Or are you going to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus? They're two different things. There's a whole different level of being just a fan of Jesus and being a follower. And he said, that question actually changed my life because there were so many implications. And one of those implications, my pocketbook, my finances. And I remember he told me, he goes, and I've made a lot of money. And I have to answer to God, did God provide that or is it just me? And so this idea of partnership. Is it possible that contributing is not about what Jesus wants from you, but what Jesus wants for you? Is that possible? Is it possible that he's not doing the miracles and providing the pizza and the food for his disciples and the people around him day after day after day, three meals a day he could have? Is it possible the reason he's not doing that is he wants more for them and you, these women, they're on the receiving end of blessing because of their partnership. They're actually receiving by giving. All right, here's my last thought. And it's just giving's an expression of my love for God, my devotion. Lou Smeeds was a professor at Fuller Seminary, where I went, losing my mind. But I was with my friend Chuck Weissong yesterday, and we were talking. He asked me what I was speaking on, and I told him, and he said, do you remember Lou Smeeds at Fuller? He goes, I'll never forget. He said, show me a husband who loves his wife, and I'll show you a husband who supports her. Show me a husband who loves his wife, and I'll show you a husband who sacrifices for her. Show me a husband who loves his wife, and I'll show you a husband who will do anything to please his wife. Show me a husband who loves his... Now, just apply that to your faith. Show me a person who loves Jesus, and I'll show you a person who's willing to sacrifice for him, who's willing to support the ministry and mission of Christ. Now, there are some of us, because I've been doing this for a long time, there are some of you right now that are like, well, I can't do that, but I give my time. Well, that's cool, but it's not biblical. That's great you give your time. I actually just drove to pick up junior high kids at junior high camp yesterday up to Mission Springs. That's a tithe. No, that's not a tithe. That's just me giving my time. I'm not like, well, I went and picked up the kids so I don't have to give this month. But that's how we think sometimes. That's not how I live my life. That's not according to the Bible. I'm called to be a contributor, not just my time. It's that area that makes me like, I don't want to grow in that area. That's what we're talking about. If you're sitting here feeling resistant, I can't even believe I came to church today. Guy's talking about if that's you, maybe this is the discipleship issue of freedom and growth and partnership. There's a reason Jesus said it's more blessed to give. Do we believe that? Or do we just kind of want to put it in our kitchen, hanging it on a little thing in our kitchen? More blessed to give than, you know. Or are we going to live it? All right, let me wrap this up. I'm going to ask you a question. This question kind of rocked me this week, and it's just, is my giving safe or sacrificial? I read that, and I was like, I don't like that question. Get behind me, Satan. No. Because it most of us are like, well, my tax attorney says I can only give the... What? When did your tax attorney become Jesus? Well, according to my... No. It's according to Scripture. Nobody else. At least that's how I'm trying to live my life. I'm answering to him, not to other people. And there's freedom in that. There's freedom in that. Amy Carmichael, she was a missionary to India. She is credited with this quote, "You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving." You can give without, I can give, but I don't love someone. But if I love someone, I can't love someone without giving. That's what she's saying. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. If I love God, the part of the expression of that love is I'm going to support his mission. I want to become more like him. For God so loved the world that he, say it out loud, he gave. He gave. He gave. I don't know about you, but it's hard. This money giving, I can get up here and then, writing that check or signing up for automatic, giving, that's a commitment. That means I'm going to make it a priority. But that's where we want to live as followers of Jesus, to be people that, it's not just, do I trust God to resupply, to provide? I think there's a flip side to that. Can God trust me? Do I trust God? Can God trust you with the resources that he's given you? Maybe I'll leave you with that. Would you pray with me? I pray for a spirit of freedom in this room, not of guilt or obligation or pressure. I pray for somebody that's not a Jesus follower, this message doesn't even make sense to give money. But for those of us that would say, he's my Savior, he's my Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God and the Word of God would do the work of God in your heart. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I pray for you right now to become a giver. And if it's not to a local church like our church, if it's to Young Life or Crew or Inner Varsity or Justice Mission, or there's plenty of places to give to move the mission of Jesus forward. And I'm just, Lord, pray for the person that maybe is going, oh, he's just trying to raise money this morning. I actually just know that every one of us, if we would become a giver to the cause of Jesus, whatever that cause is, that this world's going to become a better place, because the kingdom of God will come and his will be done when it's resourced and funded by the people of God. And so we pray for that. I pray a spirit of freedom over each of us, not fear, but freedom, that we'd walk out of here set free to move from consumers to contributors in the mission of Jesus. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, and by the way, I mean it. Those of you who are like, well, I don't give because I want to know what's going on. Pick up the phone and call me. I'd love to treat you to a cappuccino and ask you to write a check. Just kidding. And love to have a conversation with you. God bless you.
Let's stand together as we sing this song just about letting God take over. Let's not grasp too tightly to anything this morning.